Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. I'm going to talk to us today about the spirit of tolerance. The spirit of tolerance. Praise the Lord. Would you lay your Bibles down and just reach towards heaven and let's just ask God to minister in our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your presence, your love, your anointing. We pray that your spirit would have your way here today. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in this church. This is your church, Lord, and we're your people, and we pray your will be done, and we give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Hopefully you didn't forget that. And I tell you, when holidays fall on a Sunday, it just kind of gets busy, but maybe I can take Sister McCoy out to eat somewhere on Monday night or Tuesday night or whenever it thaws out. But anyway, we celebrate our relationships, and we're thankful for those. The spirit of tolerance. Tolerance, it is a buzzword for this generation and this society. Tolerance is defined as the ability or the willingness to tolerate something or to put up with something, in particular with something that doesn't necessarily or that we don't necessarily agree with. It's allowing something that is not wholly approved of. In one sense, tolerance implies the compromising of one's own convictions, yielding ground on important issues or giving in. Someone once said, you have what you tolerate. You have what you tolerate. How true that is in every area of our lives. Parents who tolerate their children talking back to them will reap what they sow. Teachers who tolerate poor behavior will have what they tolerate. One of our kids told us the other day, and they had 5 late assignments in this one class, and the teacher was texting all the parents, hey, can you help them get all these assignments in? And come to find out, the whole class had 5 late assignments, and I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I appreciate our teachers, but what you tolerate, that's what you're going to have. And coaches who tolerate sloppy practices will have sloppy plays when it comes to game time. Employers who tolerate poor performance, they will find their business performing poorly. Think with me about things that are widespread in our society today. Divorce. Years ago, we became quite tolerant of it, and now 40 to 50% of all married couples in the United States divorce. In our society, we become tolerant of the use of alcohol. Until now, you're an oddball if you don't consume it regularly, according to this world's thinking. And now we've become tolerant of drug use. Until now, mind-altering drugs are legal in certain states, including our own, and you're such a prude if you voice a concern about that. We become tolerant about crime, crippling the hands of our law enforcement agencies, and now we're reaping the effects of that tolerance all over our nation. As a nation, we become intolerant about immorality, and what would have once horrified us, now we just accept it. We become tolerant of evil. We become tolerant about wickedness in high places. We've become tolerant of sin, and we have now what we have tolerated. Tolerance today has taken on a different meaning than what it did a few years ago. You see, we used to pride ourselves in America for tolerance, and a meaning that we recognized and we respected other people's beliefs without necessarily sharing them, but they have the right to think what they want to think, and we may not agree, but you have your right to your own opinion, and I have my own opinion as well. Yet today, tolerance has come to mean that everyone else's values and everyone's belief system and everyone's lifestyle is now acceptable. And you have to voice your approval of their views. That's what tolerance is today. One thing that many people today fear more than anything else is to simply be called intolerant. Don't call me intolerant. I'll do whatever I have to do, but just don't call me intolerant. And unfortunately, society is doing its best to form the church into this mold of our culture so that we in the church would be forced to accept what our society tolerates. Isn't it something how tolerance extends to everyone and everything except those who stand for godly principles? Oh, can you believe anything you want to. You can do anything you want. You can live any old certain way. Just not anything from the Bible. And if you take a stand for your beliefs, if you proclaim that you look to the Word of God for your values and worldview, then all of a sudden those who want everyone else to be tolerant of them, they lose their tolerance of you. Because it's not really about tolerance. It's about calling evil good and calling good evil. It's not really about tolerance. Isaiah 5 and 20 reads, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The world it's not just that they want to live, not live according to what the Bible calls as good, but it goes beyond that because they want to condemn what God calls as good. They want to argue against it. They want to run it down, and then it justifies what God has called evil, and the world applauds it and rewards it and recommends that everyone do it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. You ever think about what would happen if our Lord Jesus Christ was bodily here in bodily form on the earth right now? What if he preached today like he preached back then? What if he said things today that he said in the Gospels? What if he did things today like he did back in the New Testament? He would be ridiculed. The things he said, they would be labeled as hate speech. He would be called intolerant. He'd be called a bigot. His Twitter account would be suspended. Yeah, Facebook would fact check everything that he said. Every attempt would be made to cancel him, to silence him, and to punish his followers, all by a world that is supposed to be so tolerant. We can't buy that lie today. I have news for us. Just look at how far we've come in America over the last several years. Where we stand now, it's only just the start. And the world is coming for the church. The world is coming for the church. You better get ready. The world is coming for the church. Thankfully, there's been several successful lawsuits in the last several months from churches who have protested government's control and restrictions on them, but just give it time. Just give it time because the world is coming for the church, a world that is supposed to be so tolerant of others, but it's really not about tolerance. It's really about they want to be free to do whatever they want. They want to be allowed to sin. They want to be allowed to punish anyone who tells them that that is sin. And they'll even quote the Lord. Jesus said, he said to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, she was in the very act of adultery, he said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee." And the world will take part of a scripture and they'll twist it and pick it apart just for their views and to justify their sin and say, "Well, don't condemn me. Even Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Don't judge me." But look at the rest of what Jesus said to her. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." They don't want to hear about that. He didn't condemn her, but he said, "You need to stop sinning. There needs to be a change in your life. You need to repent. You need to move forward. You need to make your life right." Yes, that woman, when she met Jesus, she was a harlot, but not after she met him. There was a change in her. Hallelujah. And some of you know what that's like, because before you met Jesus, your life wasn't worth living. But after you met him, there was a change. There was a transformation. There was a difference made in your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul lists the type of sins that people would do that would keep them from the kingdom of God. But then in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, he says, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Such were some of you, such was I, but oh, we've been washed, we've been changed, we've been transformed, we've been sanctified. Hallelujah. If you read through that passage, Paul talks about homosexuals, he talks about adulterers, he talks about thieves and drunks, but then he reveals that they didn't stay that way. They may have been a drunk in the past, but now they're free. And they may have been hooked on drugs at some time in the past, but now they're delivered. They may have been a fornicator before, but God saved them, and now they're washed. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the church, the New Testament church, did not tolerate their alternative lifestyle. But the church said, you need to come out from that sin. You need to come out from the world. You need to be separate. You need to be set apart. You need to let the Lord deliver you and change your life. Amen. The homosexual, the adulterer, their lives were changed. They were transformed by the power of God. And we today have to stand against the spirit of tolerance that wants to invade the church. But oh, pastor, I don't want to be called a bigot. I don't want to be called intolerant. I don't want to be labeled as someone who is not nice. But if we're careful, we're trying to be so nice, and the spirit of tolerance slips in. And we'll have what we tolerate. Think about it with me today. Church organizations licensing ministers who are homosexual, performing weddings for same-sex couples, accepting all lifestyles as legitimate and right. There are churches in our city here that do that because you have what you tolerate. Everything has been so questioned by our society that now it's taught and believed and practiced that, well, really there's no absolute truth. There's no authoritative doctrine that we can base everything on. The Ten Commandments have been removed. Prayers are not allowed in schools. Creationism is bashed. God has been outlawed from every part of our society because sin doesn't want to be told that it's sin. Evil wants to be called good and good evil. But there are some things that it just is absolute truth. They say follow the science. Let's follow the science for a few minutes. Water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. It's never at 100 degrees. It's never at 189 degrees. It's always at 212 degrees. Water freezes at 32 degrees. Not at 21. Not at 35, but at 32 degrees. Objects that are heavier than air are always attracted to the center of the earth. They always go down. They never go up. Now, that's pretty narrow-minded. That's pretty narrow-minded. That's pretty absolute. But it's just the law of gravity, and it's absolute truth. Take mathematics. Add 2 plus 2, it equals 4. Not 3.5, not 16, it equals 4. That's real narrow-minded. But that's the way math is. Amen. Geometry is the same way. It says that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points. Now, that seems pretty intolerant. That seems pretty narrow-minded, but it's the truth. If you ask somebody the directions to New York City and they say, oh, just go down that road and take any way you want to go because all roads lead there, you'd question their sanity because all roads don't lead to New York. That's false. Have you ever heard someone say, well, all roads lead to heaven? We're all going to the same place. That doesn't even make sense when looked at in the light of everything that we know is true. I want to tell you, Jesus was intolerant of any other way to heaven. He was intolerant of any other path. There are some absolute truths. If we want to know how to get to heaven, we better listen to Jesus Christ. Because he knows more than anyone ever else who has lived about how to get to heaven. And he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." If we want to enter into the kingdom of God, we have to go through a narrow gate. Tolerance is not the way to heaven. No, that's the highway to hell. It's broad and it's wide and it leads to destruction. But if we want to find the way that leads to life, we've got to find that narrow way that is according to God's word and God's plan. And we've got to stick to that narrow path and say, no, I'm not going to, you go the own way, but I've got to live right. I've got to talk right. I've got to do the things God's called me to do. I've got to live holy. My family has to be in the church. We've got to be saved, and this is the way. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Yes, that's pretty narrow-minded. That's pretty intolerant. But I'm sorry, Buddha, you're not the way to heaven. Muhammad is not the way. Our own path is not the way. Jesus is the way. And Jesus said in John 3 and 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's not very tolerant. That leaves out a ton of people, but the truth is truth, whether we like it or not. Truth is truth, whether it's popular or not. So don't be fooled today by the spirit of tolerance, because I want to tell you, this world hates the things of God. It's not really about tolerance. It's about not wanting to go a narrow way, not wanting to submit to God in heaven, and not wanting to live according to the word of God. We're living in an anti-Christian culture. Yes, in a nation that was founded on godly principles, but it's an anti-Christian culture, and it continues to tolerate things that are contrary to the word of God. We've been doing this for years, but it's swiftly getting worse and worse, and no doubt will keep getting worse. So what are we to do? Don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. Throughout history, we've seen those who have stood against the spirit of tolerance in their day. And maybe there's no more thrilling story than that of the Hebrew young men who were delivered from the burning fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their victory is a challenge and a comfort to us here today. You see, God never promises that he'll keep us out of the fiery furnace. He never promised that. He didn't keep Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of it. However, he got in the fire with them. And he will walk through it with us. I've come to preach to somebody today that you feel like you've been going through it. Well, don't you dare stop now. Don't you dare stop now, but you keep walking by faith. You keep pressing on. You keep up the faith, because even though God may not deliver us from every trial, he will walk through us. He will walk through it with us, and we can come out stronger. We can come out better off. We can come out victorious. Yes, our lives will be tested, and we're going to have to choose of how we're going to live. But I've got to choose, am I going to bow to this world's system, or am I going to bow to the word of God? Hallelujah. Are we going to be controlled by outer forces or by inner principles? God, help us to be led by the word of God. So Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most famous kings of ancient Babylon, and we read about him in several books of the Bible, mainly in the book of Daniel. And Daniel, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were carried away captive out of Jerusalem when King Nebuchadnezzar attacked it. And in Daniel chapter 3, we read how King Nebuchadnezzar, he set up this huge idol, this huge statue of himself. It was over 90 feet tall. And he brought together all the people of the land. And when the band began to play, they were to bow down and they were to worship this idol, this golden image of the king. And those who refused to bow, they faced a horrible fate. They would be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace. And in our culture today, we have been called to live out this scenario every single day in our lives, as the world's system demands that we bow, that we go along with the crowd, that we give in to the pressure of this world. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were submitted to inner principles instead of outer peer pressure. And they chose to not give in, and they stood out like sore thumbs in the midst of all the others there that day, but they did not bow. Our faith will be tested by the spirit of tolerance. And we will have today what we tolerated yesterday, and we'll have tomorrow what we tolerate today. These three Hebrew young men found their strength in God, and they chose to stand up to that spirit of tolerance, and we can too. Don't you give in to it. Don't you give in to it, but you stand for truth. You stand for righteousness. You stand for godliness. Amen. You can do it in love, but you take a stand. How are we to face this culture? Should we get out in the streets and hold up our signs and shout our beliefs? Should we try to yell louder than the rest of the noise to get our voices heard? Well, look at the New Testament church. You see, their culture was a lot like our culture today. How did they confront their culture? They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have the answers for all the things we're facing. We don't have the answers for everything going on in our world, but Jesus does. And the gospel that changed the world back in the New Testament, it can still change the world today. We've got to just keep preaching it. We've got to just keep living it. We've got to just keep sharing it with everyone we know. We've got to tell everybody about the love of Jesus Christ. You see, those Hebrew boys, they knew the word of God. They knew that they should not bow to an idol. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, he flew into a rage of fury. He brought them to them. And look at what he said in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Or look what the three Hebrew boys said. They said, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Oh yes, God is able. God is able to deliver us. God is able to make a way. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to give up. But we're going to stand for what's right. We're going to do what we've been taught to do in the word of God. Everyone else may bow, but not me, because I've got to stand on God's word. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let me talk to you young people. You go to school. You're involved in the things of life, and you're surrounded with those who put the pressure on you. Well, why do you dress like that? Why don't you talk the way we talk? Why do you do things different? Why do you go to church instead of being involved in everything else? Why do you do all of this and put God first? And the pressure is there. The pressure is there. It's not really that they care so much that you do it. It's that they feel conviction about the way they're living.
and they want to pull you down to their level so everybody feels comfortable in sin. Don't you give in. Don't you give in. You keep standing for what's right. You keep dressing holy. You keep living right. You keep talking right. When they start telling jokes that are inappropriate, you walk away. You be a leader. You be a light that shines in a world full of darkness. Well, look what happened. Things went from bad to worse. Read with me in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that those mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And the heat, it was so hot that it killed those soldiers who threw them in. But Nebuchadnezzar couldn't believe his eyes. He said to those around him, he said, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the midst of the fire?" "Oh, yes, king, there was just 3 men. "Then why do I see 4 men, and they're not bound anymore, but they're loose, and they're walking around in the midst of the fire, and the 4th one, it looks like it's the Son of God." Hallelujah. We are not promised that God will always deliver us from trials. Oh, but I want to tell you, he will walk through the fire with you. He will stand with you. He will be with you. He'll be your strength. He'll be your comfort. He'll be your help. He will be there with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. I can't tell you today it always will be just a bed of roses. Just ask Paul. Paul was stoned. Paul was beaten. He was left for dead. Ask Peter. He was crucified upside down. Ask all those in Hebrews chapter 11 who died for their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said the rain is sent on the just and on the unjust. Oh, God is able to deliver, but if not, we're still not going to bow. We're still not going to tolerate sin. And if you're taking a stand for truth, and if you're standing on the word of God and standing for righteousness, and if you're in the fire right now, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you give out, because the Lord is going to be with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Even in the midst of the fire, you're going to find victory. Even in the midst of the flame, you're going to find a reason to rejoice, because the Lord our God is with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what God is doing is meant for his glory. It's not to lift us up, not to give us a name. This story ends with Nebuchadnezzar himself declaring that there is no other God who can deliver like this. Their clothes weren't burned. Their hair wasn't even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. And these 3 young men were promoted to prominent places in the kingdom because they took a stand. We'll have what we tolerate. We'll have what we tolerate. As Christians, as parents, as young people, as those who are in this world but are not of this world, we are faced with the spirit of tolerance every single day. Every day it presses on us. Every single day it seeks to convince us to let down on our convictions, to ease up on our stand for holiness and righteousness and godly principles. It's peer pressure, spiritual pressure. Sometimes we're just simply so tired of fighting, and we're so tired of standing for truth, and we're so tired of leading our family and leading our homes that the temptation is so great and the pressure is so strong. Well, we could just tolerate a few things to make it easier. We could just let down a little bit here and a little bit there. And oh, we still love the Lord, and we still want to be faithful, and we're not agreeing with sin, and we're not wanting to compromise our convictions. It's just easier to tolerate some things instead of always being on guard. And that's how the enemy works, wearing us down. It's constant pressure. It's a continual attack until we are tired and we're worn out and we give in to tolerance. Oh, the enemy knows what he's doing. We wouldn't stand for a direct attack on the Word of God. That would be too obvious. And so instead, he's turned the whole world away from God, and now we're just tempted to be tolerant. And he uses tolerance to slip in, find a foothold, to crack open a door so that he can get into the home and get into our family and get into the church and to destroy our life and our stand for God. I remind you the stand of those three Hebrew young men. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you give out, but stand for truth. Stand for holiness. Ask that God give you the strength to stand and to endure and to continue being faithful. Would you stand with me today in closing? We need to take an account of our lives today. What are some ways that we are tolerating the things of the world in our lives? Come on, we need to think about this today. What are some things that we've allowed into our homes that years ago we would have never put up with? What media are we tolerating that grieves the Holy Ghost? Whether it's movies or TV shows or video games or social media or even the news media sometimes. We tolerate language. We tolerate immorality, lust, violence, sinful behavior, and so much more. Things that we would never let into our lives directly. But the enemy has ever so slowly slipped them in. And we've come to tolerate and we'll have what we tolerate. What attitudes, what spirit, what language, what habits have we been tolerating that have been weighing us down? Maybe they're not directly sinful, but we're tolerating things that are keeping us from living our best life for Jesus Christ. They're weights. They're weights that we're carrying. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Talk to his fathers today. What are we allowing? What are we tolerating that God is not pleased with? Mothers today, what are we allowing into our life that we would have never before allowed that, but it has slipped in? Young people, what are you giving in to? It's been the pressure of the world that's been put on you, and the pressure is so strong. It's peer pressure. It's pressure from friends, and now you're just kind of tolerating some things that you know is not right. What are we tolerating as a church? You see, churches today have what they tolerated yesterday, and we'll have tomorrow what we tolerate today. I don't want it to be that a few years from now we look back and realize we're not anything close to what the New Testament church was. There's churches in our city that are in that case today. But we've got to get in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Got to be a balance, because our human heart it can go crazy in either direction. We can be so tolerant of this world that we might as well just be in the world. But then we can go in the opposite direction and be so hateful, so harsh, that it's like nobody can be saved. Our heart is not a good judge of where we should be. But the Word of God, it's exactly right. It's a foundation we can build our lives on. It's a foundation we can stand on. Amen. I'm not calling us today to just go crazy and say, well, you can't even drink milk. And you can't drink a Coke. I'm not saying that. I don't find that in the Word of God. But there's some things I do find in the Word of God that we better make sure we line up with. Amen. If Coca-Cola is a downfall for you, and if that's a sin to you, and if that leads you the wrong direction, then hey, you better get it out of your life. Amen. Brother Michael wouldn't have a job if everybody did that. On the other hand, there's some principles in the Word of God that tell us how we ought to live. Things that are not acceptable. We should not allow those things in our life. We should not tolerate them in our family. But we've got to stand on the principles of the Word of God. Amen, amen. All across the house today, and listening online, or watching online today, I wonder if we can open our hearts to the Lord and say, God, search me. Search me, Lord. Just let this be a reminder. Let those three Hebrew young men be a reminder to me today that I've got to stand for truth. I've got to stand for righteousness. I've got to stand for godliness. I can't give in to the pressure of this world. I can't give in to the pressure of my peers, but I've got to do what God would have me do. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts today. Come on, would you open your heart to the Lord? Lord, show me, God. Lead me, direct me here today. God, what am I tolerating of this world that could be the downfall of my walk with you? What is it, Lord, that I'm carrying? It may not necessarily be sin, but it's a weight. It's a weight that's burdening me down. It's a weight that's loading me down, and I don't have the strength to carry that weight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today, Lord. Let my mind, Lord, be, let my heart be hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the strength to clean out the things in my life that I'm tolerating of this world so that I can live for you. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you let the Lord reach to you right now?